Welcome to Explorations in VOA Special English. I'm Mario Ritter. Today, we look at ways women are reinventing themselves and some of the things they do. We will learn about women who compete in the hard-hitting sport of American football. We hear about a different kind of store for girls. But first, we tell about award-winning singer Michelle Branch. She has reinvented her musical style not once, but two times in the past 10 years. Michelle Branch recently returned to the sound that made her famous. Christopher Cruz tells us more.
Michelle Branch has been writing music since she was 14 years old. That was the same year she received a guitar for her birthday. Her big break came a year later when her best friend called with an urgent request.
She called me. She said, "You have to get down here and bring a tape or meet this guy because he's going to be leaving soon." I said, "Well, I can't get down there." She said, "Do you have just walk, ride your bike, anything?" My neighbors had left their golf cart out in the driveway with the key in it. And so I took the golf cart and I went down and I was waiting as this guy was leaving. I was like, "Excuse me, mister, will you listen to my tape?" And he was just horrified. But he, on the long drive home back from Arizona to LA, he put it in the car and he ended up calling me.
Maverick Records released her first compact disc, The Spirit Room, in 2001. The CD produced 3 hit singles, including the top 20 hit, Everywhere. A short time later, Michelle won a Grammy Award for her work with Carlos Santana in the song The Game of Love. In 2005, she successfully made the move to country music, teaming up with Jessica Harp as The Wreckers. Now, Michelle has returned to pop music, but she still sings about her country experience in her new CD, West Coast Time.
I had a country band called The Wreckers for a while, and I moved to Nashville, and it's sort of a song about my time spent there and how I always felt kind of a little bit different because, you know, everyone had their southern upbringing there, and I was raised on the West Coast and had an upbringing of a little bit of country music but a lot of rock and roll. Now,
don't just walk. Michelle had established herself as a star with her first 2 albums. So the big question was, why do a country album at all?
I grew up listening to older country music, Patsy Cline and Johnny Cash and those greats. And I just always loved the storytelling aspect and where the lyrics came from. And so that was something that I was really drawn to, and it just felt too special to turn our back on.
Michelle's life has changed a lot since then, and so has her music.
The writing has changed a lot because my last pop album was released almost 8 years ago, and I'm married and a mother now, and I think a lot has changed. I've seen a lot of the world, so my perspective lyrically has changed a lot. I think the songwriting is classic Michelle, but there's some definitely new modern sounds.
Michelle is a simple yet creative young woman. One example is her choice of tattoos.
Well, I thought, because most people get something really meaningful written
right.
in cursive on their wrists, and I thought, from far away, it just looks like something meaningful and beautiful.
That's it. And
I have a little bit of a goofy sense of humor, so I thought, well, it'd be funny if people ask me what it is. But yeah, I had Kelly Pickler walk up to me, and she said, "Oh, I love your tattoos. Look at mine. Mine say peace and love or hope and faith or something." And she goes, "What do yours say?" I said, "Right and left." And it just was awkward.
When Michelle is not making music or performing, she likes to use social media to communicate.
I tweet kind of, it's kind of a problem. My daughter's like, Mom, are you on Twitter again? I really have a great relationship with a lot of people on Twitter, so it's a fun way to request songs or, you know, reach out.
Michelle says she is looking forward to hearing from fans about her new CD and sharing her new sound and ideas with people around the world. I'm Christopher Cruz. You are listening to the VOA Special English Program, Explorations. American football is often compared to war. Relatively few women play the sport, but Faith Lapidus tells us about some women who have been playing football for years.
American football has replaced baseball as America's favorite sport. Football has traditionally been played by men, big men who like to hit. However, in the past few years, there has been an increase in the number of women's football leagues. The women play by the same rules and with the same level of physical contact as the men's sport. Tarsha Fain is team captain of the Baltimore Nighthawks.
I feel women can do anything a man can do. The same way they get out there and hit, we get out there and hit too.
Fain and team owner Tanya Bryan were part of the first ever Women's World Championship last year. The American team, with Fain playing and Bryan serving as team manager, won the gold medal.
To be the first time it was done and be part of it, you know, no one else can ever say that. So it's just a wonderful feeling, and I'm so proud of that.
About 10 women's professional football leagues have been formed in the United States in recent years. Many have either joined with other leagues or failed, but the sport continues to grow. Ganche Mosanin is an offensive specialist for the Nighthawks. She has played football for 28 years. Mosanin says the sport is her therapy. It is what she looks forward to the most.
I feel it's a transformation when I go from putting on my gear and stepping on this football field. It's a huge mental transformation.
Mosanen moved to America from Iran as a child. She remembers the first time she ever played football at a game in her neighborhood.
I remember getting the phone call from my cousin saying, come on out, we need one more person to play. And I didn't know what it was. I had never played the game, and I remember going out there and just fell in love with it.
Most of the other players on the Nighthawks have also played since they were children. Most played unofficially or in non-contact leagues. But for team owner Tanya Bryan, women's football was a completely new experience.
It's funny, I didn't even realize the sport existed for women, and I got a phone call from a friend of mine, and she said there was an opportunity to own a team in Baltimore, and I thought it sounded really exciting, and I said yes, and 4 years later, here I am.
Proud of you.
When Bryan bought the team, she did not expect to make money right away. After 4 years, she is no longer losing money. But Bryan says what was most important to her was giving young women a chance to play ball.
Most of the time as women growing up, we're told, you know, not to be aggressive and, you know, not to be assertive. And it's nice to have an outlet where you can come somewhere and let all of that out. You know, you can be loud, you can hit somebody, you can just let it all go. And, you know, I think it's really healthy. You know, it's great athleticism is required for football, and the team camaraderie is just fantastic.
The teamwork was great in the team's recent game against the Philadelphia Firebirds. After a slow first half, the Nighthawks score and hang on for an 8-0 win.
Elation. I mean, if the team deserves it, we've been playing hard. It's amazing. Now it's our chance to make a championship.
The Nighthawks did not win the championship, but they say having a chance to play this traditionally men's sport against other women is itself a victory. I'm Faith Lapidus.
Some businesses are doing very well in the current economy. An example is American Girl, which appeals to girls and their parents. As we hear from Christopher Cruz, an American Girl store might change your idea of what a doll can do.
Do you want to get her cleaned head to toe?
Sure.
All right. Spa the Lux.
American Girl dolls are costly for most Americans, but sales of the dolls are strong, even at a time when many people are concerned about the economy. Kaylee Chang has several American Girl dolls, including one that looks just like her. She and the doll wear the same kind of clothing.
We got matching outfits, and I love to match with my doll. And it makes me feel kind of cool because I have a friend just like me.
We spoke with Kaylee and her mother, Leanne Whalen Chang, at the American Girl store in Tysons Corner, Virginia.
I have 9 American Girl dolls all together because my mom's an awesome shopper.
What I like about it is that it kind of brings back the innocence of the kids. They grow up too fast, and so the American Girl allows her to just be a little girl a little bit longer.
Kaylee got her first American Girl doll just after she was born. That was the beginning of her collection. A single American Girl doll sells for $100. Extra clothing can increase the cost. Valerie Tripp has written more than 30 American Girl books. She loves writing for 8-year-old girls.
We wanted to speak to girls who are 8, 9, 10 years old and say, whatever your passion is, whatever you're interested in right now, you know, hang on to that.
She says most of them are reading by themselves for the first time.
The ability to walk in somebody else's shoes is a wonderful life skill. And if you can read about someone who lived in a different time and kind of walk into her world, isn't that a wonderful way of, you know, learning?
I'm Christopher Cruz.
This program was written by June Sims and Christopher Cruz. He and Faith Lapidus read our reports. Find transcripts, MP3s, and captioned video of each part of our program at voaspecialenglish.com. And visit the classroom to find activities for English learning and teaching at VOA Learning English. I'm Mario Ritter. Join us again next week for Explorations in VOA Special English.
How about getting off of these ends? antibiotics. How about stopping eating?